It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 21 through the end of the chapter, verse 24. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Genesis chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from hence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his precious word today. Father, I do thank and praise you that we can enjoy this time together. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity that we have. Please, Lord, that you will open each one of our eyes to your will and to your way. And especially, Lord, as we look at this beautiful verse of Scripture, verse 21, where we are presented such a beautiful picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary. Guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look through these verses of Scripture today, I want you to see carefully. We have enjoyed looking at the 21st verse this past time, last time that we were together. Unto Adam, also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. You see, we found the gospel presented the way through the woman, the seed of the woman, is where the Lord Jesus was coming from, that was going to come to earth through to seek and to save us. And we find that in Genesis 3:15. Now in verse 21, it goes much further because we have not only how it was to take place, and we know the enemy, but the fighting, the stand between the serpent and the serpent seed, and the woman and the woman's seed being the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan himself. As we look at that in the 15th verse, now we come to verse 21, and we have a picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do it. Now, we looked through this past time and this wonderful picture, and we see that God is seeking man, not man seeking God. You know, today we're of the opinion whenever we take get in the mood, why then we go to church and we act religious and that's all we need. God will seek you out. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to be religious as we think of being religious. There's nothing wrong with religiously attending. I come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I prepare these radio programs especially for the purpose of the radio, and I do this religiously. But I am not, as you would think, to be. I do not do it to be saved. I do it because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love serving him. I love proclaiming his name that others too can come and be saved. That's how I was saved. Someone brought me the Word of God. And until that, and I was raised in church, but it's so important that we see the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it's more than just knowing that. It's having a relationship with the living Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can only come when you have faced your sin, recognize that you're a sinner, acknowledge that by the Holy Spirit convicting your heart, And then the Holy Spirit will not only just show you your sin, but also will bring you to the Lord Jesus. He'll show you that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is your Savior. He died on the cross for you that we might live. He has taken all your sin away. But until you come to Him, acknowledge Him and ask Him, whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, ask Him into your heart, please, that you believe that He is God, He is the Savior and the only Savior, and that's the only way you can be saved. No amount of works can change that. It is only your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that can take your sin away. When you've acknowledged that, you'll realize and recognize here, unto Adam, also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins. It was a work that God is doing and has done. It is not a work that Adam tried that. They made these the leaves and tried to cover themselves from these fig leaves. And we'll talk about that just a little bit later once again. They tried. But the only thing that did was they feared God. As soon as He entered the garden, they were afraid of Him, ran from Him. Because you see, what they tried to do covered nothing. And you cannot be in the presence of God without the blood of the Lord Jesus covering you. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus to have that. This picture here, again, it begins with, it's a work of God, not a work of man. So get yourself out of the road. Listen to the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit convict your heart, and then come to Jesus today. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. He made them, He clothed them. Now, we have some things here, these coats of skins. Adam and Eve prepared the fig leaves. They took something of the land and tried to cover themselves. Didn't work. The reason it does not work is because 15 begins ever so slightly to tell us of how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the victor and what is to take place. It's through the woman. Jesus Christ is going, God is going to take on the body. The Son of God will come here, live upon this earth, did that some 2,000 years ago. From this time where we're studying here in Genesis, it's 4,000 years to come before this took place. But for us today, it's some 2,000 years ago that this did take place. But right here in verse 21 is the first clear picture of how God is going to work out the salvation of man, how it's going to come to pass. And it's God doing the work, not man. We must come and come by faith to Him and surrender to Him. But until that, that is the only action, and it is not a work. It is an action, a turning unto God after He has called you. Here we have this beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What do we have here? And again, this is review from last time, but it's such an important verse of Scripture that we cannot miss it. We need to go through it a couple of times. God make coats, the Lord God make coats of skins. So we have an animal that has been put to death, and I believe that this was done in front of Adam and Eve. The death, you see, that has to take place. It has to, the sacrifice, the offering has to die. Also, this offering and this sacrifice has got to be an innocent sacrifice. Something that is totally innocent of the problem and the guilt. Here, I believe it to be a lamb. I think that God has taken this precious, perfect lamb as far as the eyes can tell. Yes, everything, man, animal, and the land, everything is under the curse. But something that has the appearance of being perfect, because this is just a picture of what's to come. And that's the reason that this animal couldn't take the sin away of Adam and Eve, but it told them how and gave them the opportunity to believe that the coming Messiah, there is going to be one that's coming, that's going to be perfect, going to be totally innocent of the problem. The Lord Jesus Christ is innocent, totally innocent. perfect, innocent, and will die, will shed his blood. Now, as we look at the requirements, not the requirements, but the beginning here, that become the standard or the requirement for salvation. It will be an innocent sacrifice. The sacrifice must die. Of course, when the sacrifice dies, there is a shedding of blood, and this sacrifice needs to be perfect, without blemish. And, of course, this is all God's plan. It's got to be God's way. Now, I've got a couple of verses of Scripture that I would like to look up and share with you. I think that you'll enjoy them because some of them are in John, Revelation, and then 1 Peter. And so let's go back to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We look at John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 29. John chapter 1. Verse 29. It says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, as we look at this gospel, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I believe this animal here was a lamb. It does not specify. I want to be clear with that. It does not specify. But you often through the Scripture, it is done with a goat. Two goats for the Day of Atonement. But here we have, I believe, and many times, because during the Exodus out of Egypt, they were told to take a lamb and to slaughter that lamb in a certain manner, fix that lamb in a certain manner, and eat it in a certain manner, preparing to leave. Here, I believe, too, it was the beginning of that, and he took this precious, most beautiful lamb, without one single blemish, and he put that lamb to death. The first death that Adam and Eve had ever witnessed. And God was responsible, because he is seeking to save those that are lost. And again in verse 29 of chapter 1 of John, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." This was the beginning. Behold the Lamb of God. God took this lamb, offered it as a picture of what was to come and be done upon the cross of Calvary. This was done often and repeated all through these 4,000 years until the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, and then the offerings, the sacrifices were finished. No more to be, because the purpose was to acknowledge the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that would stand for. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. Revelation. Let's go back to Revelation. It has some beautiful verses of Scripture in the book of Revelation that I want you to see. Revelation chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 6. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. "And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth." In the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. Adam and Eve stood back and watched God kill this lamb, and prepare these coats of skins to show that I will take your sin away. Right now this is a covering, and this covering will need to be repeated until I go to the cross of Calvary. But here is an example of what needs to take place, an innocent sacrifice. The sacrifice must die. The sacrifice's blood must be shed, and this sacrifice must be perfect. That was the requirements that was set forth right here in Genesis chapter 3, 21, and never left. Never has been, it has been left. Everything has stayed the same concerning the offering and the opportunity of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, Revelation 5, 6, "In the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain." 5:12, Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. You see why I believe that it was a lamb that was offered here in verse 21, because this was the beginning of the work. Revelation 7:14. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white by the blood of the Lamb. What wonderful pictures we have. 1 Peter 1:19. 1 Peter 1:19. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. You see, we're to the end of our wonderful Bible that we have and hold and use in Revelation. And we're at the beginning in Genesis. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. An innocent sacrifice, the sacrifice must die. The sacrifice must shed his blood. The sacrifice must be perfect without blemish. And it must be by God's will and by God's way. I wanted you to see those verses of Scripture. We did not go through those last time we were together. I want you to see without a question that we're talking and looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. What a beautiful opportunity that we find. The curse, the judgment was placed upon Adam and Eve. The first gospel was presented in Genesis 3:15. And now in Genesis 3:21, we have the most beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was going to have to happen to that perfect offering and sacrifice at some time? And it did some 4,000 years later, some 2,000 years ago. Wonderful to look at this. And everything is fulfilled here in verse 21. And again, notice it was done by God. God's gift, not man's work. Adam and Eve did nothing, absolutely nothing. Adam and Eve didn't even put the coats on. God put them on. And that's the way you will be saved. That's the way I was saved. I turned unto the Lord Jesus Christ because I recognized my sin. I recognized I was a sinner and I was lost and I needed a Savior. And the only way I recognized that was by hearing God's Word and the Holy Spirit taking that Word and convicting my heart and bringing me to Jesus Christ. And that happened one evening just about dark, halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house. That was where I met Jesus Christ. And my life has never been the same since. And I continue to grow and continue to enjoy the fellowship that I have with God and with true believers. Remember what the penalty was? The penalty back here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's the promise. Thou shalt surely die. The very day that Adam sinned, God came with the opportunity of salvation, the substitutionary lamb. Look what happened the day after the day that they sinned. The eyes of them both were open. I'm in Genesis 3:7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Hid themselves. Hid themselves. That's what your own work will do for you. You will run for your life. Because you see, your own work is not going to do it. It must be by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave that example here in Genesis 3:21. We have a couple of things here with this substitutionary lamb that we're talking about here in verse 21. First of all, in Genesis 3:7 that we just read, 3:7 and 3:8. Genesis 3:7, "And their eyes were opened, they knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." The word apron there is belt. They just girded themselves. But here in verse 21, Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Coats. The word coats there is robes. And as we look at the Hebrew word for coats, it is a complete covering from head to toe. The apron is a belt, just something to gird yourself with in the center. But the coats is something that is completely covers you from head to toe, the coats. And so you see, when the Lord God does it, it is complete and full from head to toe. There's not one spot that isn't taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. When man does it, they can just cover one area and it isn't worthy of having. God's gift, God's work, God's plan. It must be through the death of a substitute. It must be the innocent blood. It must be the shedding of blood. Now, I want you to remember this when we get on into Cain and Abel here in the next chapter. I want you to remember here what the requirements of the offerings and the sacrifice. It must be an innocent sacrifice. The innocent sacrifice must die. The innocent sacrifice, of course, in the death will shed his blood. And that innocent sacrifice must be perfect, at least as perfect as we can have it. Man must have a substitute between himself and God's wrath. And that's Jesus Christ in him alone. Not works, not something homemade like these fig leaves, or baptism, or church membership, or good works in any way. Only by faith in Jesus Christ will this come. So please look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What has this gained, this action that Adam and Eve have found themselves in because they have accepted the fruit from this forbidden tree? The Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us." Verse 22, Genesis 3:22. "To know good and evil, and know lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Behold, man has become of one of us to know good and evil." What fruit has man gained by this action, by this deciding to eat of this forbidden fruit? We've seen the gospel given in 3:15. We have seen the beautiful action of what is to come concerning the salvation, how it's going to be carried out in verse 21. And now we want to look just a minute here. We find that, "Behold, man has become one of us." What have they gained? Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. Acts, Romans chapter 6, verse 21. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." That's what they gained. Romans 6:21. Are we awakened to our sin, to our place and position? When God comes calling, remember what happened in the garden? They had put the fig leaves on, they've sown fig leaves, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves. Are we awakened to our sin, to our place, our position, fallen, forever damned because of the decision, because of being born into sin? And when God comes to you, and I've made the statement different times, and that is that a person, many folks, never recognize that they're lost. They're good people, they act right, they do many things that are good, but That's what they're depending on, is their goodness. I have, you know, yes, I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything that bad that's going to keep me out of heaven. The birth, born into sin, is going to keep you out of the presence of God, out of His heaven, out of His fellowship. You have no power and strength of His as you walk through this life that He wants to give you, wisdom that He wants to give you, if you neglect coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him into your heart. What comes first is this awakening to your sin. And I've said, as I began to say a minute ago, until you're lost, do you need to be saved? Of course, you always need to be saved, but salvation is of nothing to you. You do not need a Savior until you truly recognize that you're a sinner, you're lost. And when God comes into your presence, when you hear the Word of God, are you convicted of your sin? Because that's the first thing that happens when you begin to hear the truth, the Word of God. Now, if you can sit in your church and you say, I don't believe in this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, I don't believe that I need to do that, And I can sit in my church, and I sit in my church every time the doors are open. I never miss. I work in the church, and I don't feel this conviction. Well, it's because in your church, the truth is not proclaimed. You may read a few verses of Scripture, but if you do not take the Word of God and show people, show the folks in that church the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, if you neglect to bring out the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in this Word, the Word of God, the Bible. If you don't do that, you can sit under the reading. It's nothing more to you than a textbook, than a history book, possibly. It is not God's living Word, but God's living Word shows you. We've spent a couple of weeks looking at that in the past, that all these words speak of me. Tell of me. They are me. And so if you, as a preacher, do not proclaim Jesus Christ through these verses of Scripture from cover to cover, then you're neglecting your job, and you're letting your folks in your church die and go to hell. If you're sitting in such a church, and your preacher doesn't preach Jesus continually, then he is neglecting his responsibility. Please, that you see the Lord Jesus, and you look, and the first thing that should come, you should see your sin. Let's go to Psalms 83:16, the book of Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs, if you're to Proverbs, you're too far. Psalms 83. As we look to Psalms 83, Psalms 83, verse 16. Psalms 83, verse 16. Fill their faces with shame. I'm sorry, I'm in 83, there we go, 83:16. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Fill thy faces with shame. That's the first thing that comes as you start to hear the Word of God, shame, and this terrible feeling that you're lost, and He will not only, but He doesn't just take you there to a place that you're ashamed. He takes you to that place only to show you that here I am, and His hands are held out to accept you and to receive you. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must save Him. What did it gain when Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit? It gained them the fruit of death. That's what it gained them. Now, as we look through these verses of Scripture, and I enjoy doing it, I forget sometimes, and forgive me, because I like to take just a minute and show you the verses of Scripture that we have studied today so that you can return and read through those verses of Scripture. We have Genesis 3:8, John chapter 1, verse 29, Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, Revelation 7, 14, 1 Peter 1, 19, Genesis 2, 17, Genesis 3, 7. We spent time with Genesis 3, 21, and we've looked at Romans 6, 21, and Psalms 83, 16. That's some of the verses of Scripture, the cross-references that we looked at as we looked through these verses of Scripture in Genesis chapter 3. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?